Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us as the offseason's winding down and the, well, training camp and the regular season about to wind up. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you. You guys are amazing teammates of Spits and Suds. Truly appreciate you spreading the word and growing this podcast. We are doing this together. Our amazing NHL and Stars insider Sean Shapiro will join us in just a moment. We have a lot to talk about as far as the Stars today, so get ready, folks. It's going to be a quick 30, but the most informative 30 minutes, as we like to say, covering your Dallas Stars. Let's talk about the on-time experts. They support this program. They embed themselves within this program. When we asked them, hey, we're going to do a special event for the listeners to celebrate hockey, they said, give us the date. We'd love to be there. We'd love to give away Dallas Stars tickets. They are the official partner of the Dallas Stars, also the official partner of Spits and Suds. That's why I like to talk about them. And I was a customer even before this podcast started. I've had them work on my plumbing. I've had them work on my HVAC. I am one of those customers for life, and I want you to be as well. They have some great specials, that $59 HVAC cleaning for first-time customers. I mean, they'll come in and they'll spend 2 hours on your system. They'll tell you the proper filters to use. They'll tell you all about the parts, what's going bad, what still has shelf life next. They're not coming in there to look for money. They're looking to basically make you for a partner for life. They do the same thing with the drain cleaning. It's just $99 first floor for first time customers. And also same day service guarantee. In other words, you hear about people specifically in these triple digit weather having to get a hotel. You don't have to do that with the on-time experts. Same day service guaranteed. That same day service guaranteed. If you have an issue, you contact them. They'll be in touch with you. When can we be of service? Can't say enough about the on-time experts. They're my friends, and I was so proud that they represent this program, the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. We welcome in Sean Shapiro of Shap Shots. I was just reading a terrific article from Sean that he put out today. What is the shelf life of a competitive advantage, with some amazing stories about Ken Holland and just sports in general. And then he asked the question, what are some other shelf life competitive advantages? And I'm ready to respond there. I thought it was very fascinating, but that's what you get out of Shap Shots with Sean. You get some really good articles that make you think about the Dallas Stars, about the NHL. So it's just a low monthly fee, and Sean is so nice to join us on this podcast. He's become a huge part of this podcast, so please support him at Shap Shots. His Twitter/X at Sean Shapiro. He also writes for D Magazine and Elite Prospects, as well as that YouTube channel, which I want all of you to subscribe to, Algorithmically Incorrect, with his partner in crime. That is Robert Tiffin of StarsThoughts.com. And Sean, Robert and I got every single question Saturday night trivia right, but we were up against a team of 8 to 10, and they got the bonus questions right. We were heading into the final question with in third place, but we had a shot. But once again, Spittle and Tiffin, or Tiffin and Spittle, fall just short. We need that third component to complete the line in Sean Shapiro.
Did you get, was it Swedish City? Was like the bonus again under like Swedish cities named after elements? Or where did the bonus go on this?
We were laughing out loud about that. We were laughing out loud, said, about that story and you calling Elite Prospects, and they're like, how did they not get that right? Yeah. We did pull some rabbits. We did pull some rabbits and came up with some great answers on various things that made us pump our fist. But these teams of 8 to 10 trivia experts that come in, it's just tough as a two-person team to pull it off. The last question was about governors and politics, and we did not get there were two states you could name. We did not get one of the states. So we fell short. Second round, we were just bad. We were off our game, still reeling from that first. But the coffee was delicious. The hockey talk was delicious as well.
I mean, with what you guys are doing as a two-person team, like it's highly commendable to go out and tackle that. I'm going to have to see if I don't know if we'll be able to make it work, but you set a really high bar. Robert's coming up to this neck of the woods in a couple weeks for the prospect tournament. I don't know if I can live up to, I don't know if we can make it happen, but it almost makes me want to go see it in action here. So that's,
it's impressive. Robert pulls some serious rabbits and you're like, all right, man, we're going with that. And then every once in a while I tell Robert, I don't know if I'm smart, but for some reason, I feel like some of these questions are like, hey, Gavin, we're going to make you look smart. And here's one for you.
Yeah.
You know, because when you answer it, you feel so good. You're like, I actually know that. Like, here's an example. One of the questions, Sean, was, what does the music format AC stand for in radio? And I was like, oh, man.
Well, that's right up your alley, right?
I mean, it was just, I felt like walking to each table like, hey, ladies, I know the answer. You know, I happen to be in radio. So, yes.
I'm struggling with the C, if
you're not in the business, it's very tough.
I'm gonna guess like A is adult. I'm just gonna guess like age wise.
You are correct. Like,
okay. And this is like for a genre of music.
Yes. And it's a genre of music, but not like a mainstream name. It's basically an industry name.
Okay. Cause like I go through and like, I think of like genres of music and I think of like rock, rap, hip hop, classical, I don't think there's an adult classical. I don't think there's enough adult classical, music for that to be its own genre for radio. So I'm kind of stumped here, I guess.
I mean, that's a terrific guess. It's adult contemporary.
Okay. I could see where, okay. I was in the right vein as a team. We would have gotten it. I mean,
this is exactly why I need you on right wing, you know? Yes. I mean, so yeah,
absolutely.
But it's a lot of fun. And if you're a listener locally in North Texas and you want to play with us sometime, just reach out to us. We'd be happy to have you on board. It's a lot of fun. It's completely free to play. You win gift certificates. Robert and I just want to take one of those gift certificates and raise it like the Stanley Cup, Sean, in front of those teams of 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds like a ton of fun. Okay.
All right. Let's get into hockey. But I do love talking to Sean about all these things in both of our lives. Okay. So sources have informed DLLS that the Dallas Stars planning to move their game broadcast from Victory Plus to Amazon Prime Video and potentially one other platform. And this will start immediately. This season, this follows the Texas Rangers that left Victory Plus for Buzzer and the Anaheim Ducks moving away from Victory Plus as well. Give us your thoughts, Sean.
Yeah, so it's interesting how things have kind of fallen on this Victory Plus Stars related thing, because we knew the Rangers left middle of their season, and then the Anaheim Ducks left, and then we kind of knew that Victory Plus was more or less on thin ice with where everything was going. But the Stars were unable to get off that ice as easy as others because the Stars have equity. The Stars and their ownership and Tom Gilardi, and I'm not sure technically. Like, it's one of those where when I say this, I want to be very clear for anyone listening that I'm trying to explain it as best I can because, like, for example, I don't know if technically it's the Dallas Stars that have equity in Victory Plus or Tom Gilardi that has equity in Victory Plus. Does that make sense, Gavin?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, so, like, I'm not sure on, like, so I want to be very clear. I'm not sure under the exact legal document and ownership. So I'm not sure when we talk about the Stars having equity in Victory Plus, it might be the team technically does. It might mean Tom Gilardi does. And obviously those two are intrinsically tied together. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. So I want to be very clear on that. But basically we know that the Stars in some shape or form have equity with Victory Plus. And so there was a And they got some financial promises to, and they were kind of the test market. And the big thing was Victory Plus was trying to use Dallas, a parent media company who owns Victory Plus was trying to use Dallas as the launching pad for other larger platforms in other places. They were going to get the Stars. They were going to get the Rangers. They were going to use this to build other things, to try to build what the old Fox Sports Southwest or the Bally Sport, whatever it was before, right? Like where you had everything under one umbrella. Like even the Cowboys were doing some things under Victory Plus as, even though obviously NFL game broadcasts are a completely different national animal. So the Ducks were kind of the Rangers and Ducks were kind of the canary in the coal mine that things were falling apart. There's other things that have since fallen apart, and the Stars basically leaving Victory Plus for Prime, and from my understanding, they will be, their games will now be produced by the new NHL Central production office. There's a new NHL production office that is handles the production of the games. I don't know the full ins and outs of the cost of how much the cost. I don't know who foots the bill on those costs. I don't know if that's the Stars or the league. That's a great question for when things kind of become a little more clear on this. But basically, it's the Stars in-market solution. So for a lot of the listeners to this show are wondering, how am I going to watch the Stars? It's probably going to look a lot like what happened with the Seattle Kraken last season on Prime, where if you have a Prime membership and you are in the local TV market for that team, you should be able to watch the game that way. Not necessarily, not free. And the Stars have not confirmed this, and they've been very coy about this, which I'm curious when they decide to be a little more public, because preseason games are right around the corner, Gavin. But yeah, from my understanding and what I've heard, it sounds like it'll be similar to what it set up with the Kraken, where not necessarily free to watch them, but if you are already paying for Prime, it's not a new expense to you. Yes. If you are in the Stars TV market, the local TV market.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is good. Well, let me just say this, because I don't know, when things change so fast, people kind of don't take a step back. Like if Victory Plus goes away, I mean, I love the effort. Let me just say that. Even if it didn't work, I love the fact that people came together and tried to create something. I had my criticisms of it personally, but that doesn't mean I can't say, hey, kudos, Stick Tap. It didn't work out. But at the same time, you guys tried something, and kudos to the Stars and the Rangers for trying something and seeing if they could create a platform. And it's tougher and tougher nowadays. And, you know, now they're joining the big boys, if this is true, with Amazon. The other thing I wanted to say, Sean, is that I don't think it will change, but I am so done with this archaic blackout situation. To me, if I pay for ESPN Plus, I should be able to watch the games on ESPN Plus. If I want to listen to the St. Louis version of St. Louis versus Dallas, it's right there. I should be able to do it. I understand why they do it, to protect the local broadcasters and the local revenue. But with so many options now, as far as apps, to me, it's just become an archaic rule.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reality is, basically what's going to have to happen, Gavin, and I agree with you, is where we're going to go is the league is going to have to make their decision at some point that they're willing to, because there are still some teams that get a nice rights fee, right? If in the United States in particular, the original six teams, the Detroit Red Wings, the New York Rangers, they're still, even though obviously the Rangers are owned by, it's the same group that owns their TV network, MSG, but MSG has given a nice little rights fee to the Rangers and also to the Devils and Islanders as well in there. And so, I agree with you. The question is going to be, at what point, what's the line, I guess, Gavin, and you probably know a little more than I do on some of the ins and outs of this, because obviously not on the TV side, but within the radio world, you've worked with how rights and work and don't work for various teams. It will be interesting to see. I'm curious of basically whether it's a financial decision or an ally from one of those teams that's still getting a rights fee, where Gary Bettman, as the commissioner, is like, look, New York Rangers, we have to open this up, and we have to open this up for the betterment of the league. And so I think it's going to have to come from the top on that, because right now there's been this slow bleed is going to keep happening until someone from the top of the league realizes that we can't keep protecting this old system because of 7 or 8 teams.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And like, for instance, I pay extra because I like to watch the Canadian versions of games.
Yeah.
So that's why I pay. And I enjoy all the aspects of Hockey Night in Canada. I enjoy After Hours, which I think I would love to see in America. But it's so unique as far as, you know, Canada. I just love those aspects because, to me, it's a deep dive that I want to see. Okay. Let's move on to the Hall of Fame announcement, the Dallas Stars Hall of Fame, which he doesn't need to say it. I'll say it. Sean Shapiro needs to be one of the voting members. I'll just leave it at that. I'm against the members, but when you write 2 books on the Dallas Stars, you should probably be a member.
I'm not hard to find. I will just leave it at that. If we can have people who are based in Toronto and be on the committee, and we can have, my phone is open. So
I completely agree, specifically with your knowledge, but good to see Marty Turco now with his second Hall of Fame. For those that don't know, the goaltender was elite at the University of Michigan and went into the University of Michigan Hall of Fame about 7-8 years ago. And Les Jackson spent 33 years with the Dallas Stars franchise and known for his talent evaluation. He is still in hockey, currently with the Florida Panthers as an advisor. He has 2 Stanley Cups because of that. So, a few things from this. Awesome to see Marty Turco. To me, Turco should have won the against average was amazing. But the thing I always say about Turco as well is, there were goaltenders that could handle the puck, but I thought he was a game changer in that category. And it's very tough since to really think of a goaltender. And he taught Mike Smith how to be a good puck handler behind the net. And Les Jackson with his dedication. And my question to you, Sean, was, you know, he did that co-general manager with Brett Hull. I was wondering, as I was reading through his career, why he didn't get a shot at either with the organization or another organization as far as kind of a more longer term as far as a general manager.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because he also had the interesting thing about Les. There's 2 really interesting things about Les Jackson with his timing of things, right? Because for all the time he spent with the Stars, the year they won the Stanley Cup, the 2 years they went to the Stanley Cup final, he was in Atlanta.
Yes.
Right? Helping with the expansion team there. And I think he was also, the other thing about Les Jackson, and the Stars were very open about it when it happened, when Les Jackson got let go by the Stars during the 2019-20 season, it was a COVID-related firing. I don't know how many people know that.
Oh, okay.
When he left the Stars, it was one of the, now it's Cone, who knows if he still would have been there for a couple years after that, who knows, but Les Jackson left the Stars, and it was part of it at the time was the Stars were very, Jim Neal was very open with me about there was COVID-related reasons that they were cutting budget on things, right? Like the one thing during COVID when the teams weren't making money and they were losing money, you couldn't save money on players, right? Because players had the union protection and everything like that. And so you had to save money in other places where you had other people from the organization took less money. You got rid of some roles. And so Les Jackson left the Stars because of COVID. And that's an important kind of part of the story, I guess, of his end time at the end there. I think one of the reasons that he never left, like never went for another position or anything like that, even though he was it was kind of a no, honestly, it was very, very much a no-win situation with Brett Hull as the co-GM. It was just kind of, I don't really know what else he could have done there. For Les, it kind of got to the point of he'd been with that organization for so long, kind of felt happy living in Dallas, and it was just that was the best decision for his lifestyle, why he never really pursued that further role of another GM gig or came up. Now, obviously, someone has to reach out and offer you that job, and maybe that changes the how things work. But the that is I think that's an important part talking about this, because he had a big. There are a few roles, like if you look at Les's roles with the Stars, from amateur scouting to assistant coach to scout to assistant general manager, director of hockey operations, there are very few roles he did not play with the Stars organization. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because then to me, it's like when you talk about Les Jackson, I think in the future, there are a lot of names that are going to go into the Hall of Fame. Probably Scott White is going to be one of them in the future due to his tenure and all the roles that he's had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, Scott White is someone who, he's won a championship in Cedar Park with the Texas Stars too at some point. Lens. Now, I imagine, I have a hard time seeing Scott White not working for another NHL team at some point in a larger role than he has in Dallas, just because I think the reality is, and I guess I'll put it this way with Scott White. I think Scott White will either make his decision that he wants to be Rich Peverly's right-hand man and he'll never leave Dallas, or he wants something bigger and he'll leave Dallas. And so that's going to be an interesting Scott White long-term thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you look at Turco's stats, 509 regular season games with Dallas, 2000 to 2010 with a big winning record, 9.11 save percentage, 2.31 goals against average, you know, one of the leaders on some teams that, you know, wish they were better. But at the same time, it was a joy to watch him. And I will always say, you know, my favorite game that I was at in person was, it was one of the times that, and Sean, as a goalie, you can speak to this. You're not directly going against the other goalie. There are a lot of factors in between, but at the same time, that I want to say triple overtime victory by the Dallas Stars to send them into the conference finals against the Detroit Red Wings. That Evgeny Nabokov, Marty Turco matchup was just absolutely brilliant that night.
Yeah. And like, it's, I mean, Marty's someone who it's, you look at his career and like, you obviously you're thinking of that iconic moment. I think of that. I think of his performance as a big game goalie at Michigan. Like he is his record. I mean, his 2005-2006 season where he set the modern day record for NHL save percentage that year was wild. Right. So I'm glad. I mean, him getting into the Stars Hall of Fame is not a surprise at all. It is a, I can't, it's one of those where like you go through and you look at kind of his career, and obviously I don't think people, if he got that Vezina trophy, he's probably higher on the list of what people think about his career. Right.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating thing because you go through a tremendous career. But there's a, for whatever reason, right? Like he's definitely underserved. And when it comes to like legacy outside of Dallas, I'll put it that way. So
no, you're absolutely right. Okay. And let's end with this. Wyatt Johnston comes in at number 50 overall for NHL players by the NHL Network. I'm guessing other Stars will appear on this list. Mikko Rantanen, Jason Robertson, and Miro Heiskanen.
Is Jake Ottinger, I mean, are they putting goalies on the list too? Like
they
what's
are.
The, cause like, I don't know if they've done, I don't know where, I don't know how they're fixing the map on that. Right. Like, but
yeah.
It's, so
that's very interesting because he came in seventh this year as far as goalies, and where does that come in?
So are you going to have? I doubt they'll have seven goalies in the top 10.
Yeah, of the three remaining, and I'm guessing all three will be on there. Who do you think will be highest?
This is an NHL Network list.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess they'll have Mikko Rantanen the highest. I guess I'm guessing they'll have Mikko Rantanen the highest. But
yeah. I agree. I mean, their lists are fun, but you know, obviously it's interesting because if he's the highest and we still want him to have a bounce back year, a bounce back year for yeah. Nico Rantanen is hilarious considering the numbers he was already putting up. But, hey, listen, that article today was very, very thought provoking. So
oh, thank you.
Kudos. You talk about Ken Holland and basically he tells the story and just go into it real quick before we say goodbye about ice fishing. And he was very yes. passionate about it.
Yes, it is a, we have the story and it was one of those where the story goes and this was a piece where I'm like, I have the space to write this. This is my personal sandbox. So why not have some fun with it? And it was, the reality is it reminded me of, we were up in Traverse City for the prospect tournament. Me and a couple other media people were talking to Ken Holland about kind of Red Wings draft history and how things were going. And Ken's always been a big, open, willing to have some conversations. And he said, he's kind of talked about the Red Wings draft history and like, well, how do we find Pavel Datsyuk? How do we find Henrik Zetterberg? And he compared it to ice fishing. He's like, well, you go out, it's like you go ice fishing and you go out there and you got your little fishing rod. You're sitting there at the lake by yourself and someone might see you over there, but they just completely ignore you. And then you go and you pull out a fish and you're like, oh, it's a Datsyuk. And you bring a Datsyuk back to shore. All of a sudden, someone else is like, I'm going to go check out that fishing hole. Then you go and pull a Zetterberg. And then all of a sudden, you see five more poles show up. And so it was just a funny kind of story and look of like how when the game evolves and you start bringing results back, other people are going to reverse engineer where it came from. And that's why I brought that piece up today, just with the whole I was reading about something in Premier League related with Brentford and just the way that's a team that has really gone data-driven in the soccer world on set pieces. And it's helped them kind of reach new heights for that club. And now that they've done that and other teams, Arsenal won the Premier League last year, scoring a ton of goals on set pieces more than other teams have won in championship years. And so that kind of competitive advantage disappears. And so it was kind of, I wanted to get people thinking and talking about it and kind of open up some conversations about it because it was one of those, Gavin, where one of the new age opinions I've taken on the internet positively is it's okay to come to people with half ideas because it might make me smarter learning from talking to others about it. So,
yeah, yeah. Well,
I rambled. Now clean it up and clean it up and post, Greg.
I'll clean it up and do the dismount. I'll clean it up. Have you heard the story of finding Colton Parayko about with the St. Louis Blues? It's so they had their eye on. Yeah, so they had their eye on him, but they didn't want to go to a tournament in Canada because they didn't want to tip off that they had their eye on Colton Parayko. While they had their eye on him, others hadn't yet. So they actually, he was playing in a tournament, I believe, maybe in Russia, but it was someplace far off, and they went there to scout him because they knew no one else was traveling there. And it just shows the lengths, as much as like technology takes, and technology certainly has helped as far as scouting and everything. There are those little nugget stories that are fascinating as far as how they find those players. So I thought that was always a good story. All right, my friend. Well, you are a beast. Thank you for making time today, and we will talk to you later on in the week. The hits keep coming. It has not been a dry off season.
And I will say, Gavin, right now we have the live episode coming tomorrow of Algorithmically Incorrect with Robert Tiff and I. We do have we pre-recorded with our guest this week.
Okay.
We pre-recorded yesterday, and he was so gracious with his time. We went over, so we actually decided this week, because we're always trying things out on the show, we will have part of that interview on the show tomorrow, but the full interview, as we are speaking right now, should be live on the YouTube channel and the podcast feed right now, where we did a full 30 minutes with Denver coach David Carl that I highly suggest people listening to, and we've got a great, great conversation with David Carl on there talking about everything from how he approaches the game to wanting to talk more about his fishing trips with the family to Alaska. So I highly encourage people to go listen to this show. So.
Okay. All right. So I know you have to go, but how do you wiggle in the thoughts on potentially coaching in the NHL in the future?
I mean, I think it's if you want a good I don't like being like boastful about this stuff, but I think Robert and I did a really good job of talking with David about the human side of things, about he's got a young family and the way he looks at things and where all of that comes in. And he's been one of the things I really like about the way Carl handles so many things. He's very open and honest, both privately and publicly, about how he views things. So it's not a load of BS. There is a lot of, like, I think at one point in our in conversation, Robert asks him about his plans and how he looks at things and whether he looks at things in year to year or 5 year plans. And I had not thought about it this way, but he brought up the fact that, you know what, as someone who at 18 years old was told he was never going to play hockey again.
Yeah.
He kind of stopped, he stopped looking long-term. That life kind of taught him to stop looking long-term at that point. And so it was a very interesting perspective I had not thought much about with his past as a player. So really fun interview, and I would really encourage anyone to go look it up. So
absolutely. That's a great one. Guess what I'm doing tonight? I'm checking out Algorithmically Incorrect. I did not know that that had dropped. That is with Robert Tiffin and Sean Shapiro. It's so awesome that they're teaming for this podcast. Remember, it's Shap Shots. So subscribe to that and also follow Elite Prospects as well as D Magazine, because they do great work with Sean as well. Sean, have a great day, man. We'll catch up with you later on this week.
I'm looking forward to it, Gavin. Always fun, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. The hits keep coming, and Sean's been so great. Robert's been so great. David Castillo, the guests, it keeps coming. For Sean, I'm Gavin. Special thanks to Gregory Finley, our producer of this program. He makes it happen, and the on-time experts. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.